I think so.
And I'm going to call the Land Use Committee meeting to order. It is Tuesday, the 27th. Present at this moment are Councilman Cartier and Councilwoman Lisa Diller. We will notify you as others come in. We do not have a quorum, so we will not be doing the minutes. We're going to, I see President Hartman-Nagel and Councilwoman Durham are now present. We are going into, I need a motion, oh, we're not going to do the minutes, sorry. We're going to go into resolutions 19-152, plan of Summit Circle, Pencader 100, south side of Bethel Church Road, east side of Summit Bridge Road, directly across from Summit Bridge Farms. Major land development plan that proposes construction of a subdivision of 18.14 acres consisting of 14 detached lots. S zoning, Council District 12. Is Mr. Bell here?
Still coming there.
All right, while we're waiting, let me just tell you all that we have a very large agenda today. This is going to be a two-hour meeting. It is approximately 10 after 3. By quarter after 5, this meeting will end. We have other things on our agenda this afternoon. When we get to 19046, which I presume you are mostly all here for, we are going to be doing a presentation as normal by the sponsor. We are going to allow Waste Management, who has asked for 5 minutes, to do a presentation. We are going to then go around the room and have statements by council, and then we will have public comment after that. That's pretty much our normal procedure. We are going to allow a maximum of 2 minutes per person to come up and speak at the committee meeting. If you do not get to speak at the committee meeting, there is a meeting that will be reconvened at 6:30, the council meeting. Council President Hartman-Nagel will be chairing that committee meeting. At that meeting, we have a standard of a three-minute comment period. So between this afternoon and today, tonight, I would believe everybody should have a chance to speak. And please try to not repeat yourself when you speak. I don't care if you come up and you have a statement and you ask how many people in the audience agree with you and they all raise their hand versus every one of them coming up individually, because we just don't have that kind of time this afternoon. Do I see Councilman Bell coming down? Mr. Bell, we're on 19-152, which is the plan of Summit Circle.
Yes, ma'am. If we could have a brief presentation on Summit Circle so the council can be made fully aware of the plan, I'd appreciate it.
All right. Well, I have Mr. Tackett, Mr. Sheldon, and obviously Mr. Bell has come in, and we have Mr. Sitter and Mr. Smiley. Sorry about that. Mr. Sitter, you're prepared to do a short presentation?
I will make it short. Madam Chair, and Councilman and Councilwoman, ladies and gentlemen.
Just Dev, state your name.
Dev Sitaram with Carrots and Associates, engineer for the applicant. So this plan is a very small project of 14 lots and 18.14 acres, and that is a little over an acre per lot on an average, and the density is 0.77 units to the acre. There is public water to the project, and the lots are in individual septics, and we have 53% of open space on the project. There is a good connection to the neighboring community with sidewalks, as well as a shared use path that is along Bethel Church Road. Access to the project is on Bethel Church Road. As you can see from the presentation, the project is going to be well landscaped. There's going to be a 100-foot landscape buffer along Route 301, and there will be landscaping within the open space as well as along the along Bethel Church Road and the internal subdivision street. So there are four lots that are directly fronting on Bethel Church Road and 10 lots that have access off of a cul-de-sac. So that is essentially the project, and I'm ready to answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Bell, would you like to have my comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've had no adverse comments or any opposition voiced up to this point for this particular plan. and the plan does enjoy the approval and recommendation of our land use department. I think that looking at the number of homes and the entry out on the Bethel Church Road rather than out onto Summit Bridge Road, I think that that would probably the least as far as impact on traffic and everything, because that's quite a congested area or a highly traveled area and everything. But with that, unless anyone has any questions or suggestions from council.
Any questions from council? Mr. Carter?
Yeah, I'm just curious whether you'll be ensuring that everyone coming in is aware that it is near an airport. I'm getting an awful lot of calls from the constituents in this area about noise from the airport, helicopters flying, and those type of issues. This is actually not far from the approach to the airport. There are safety concerns I have, but they don't seem to kick in. But I am concerned, can there be something in their settlement papers, some required notification to make sure they know what they're moving next to if they're going to be buying into this area?
Yes, sir. We do have approval from the FAA because we are in the proximity of an airport. However, I will pass it on to my client. They do not have a home builder designated for this project yet, but I'll pass it on to my client.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Madam Chair, just I guess the one question from the standpoint of the moratorium on septic. This, I believe, had already gone through the system prior to the moratorium, if I'm not mistaken. So
yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Yes, sir, it predates.
Thank you.
And Councilman Street has joined us. Any other questions? Any public comment on this project? Thank you,
Madam Chair.
And we'll move to 19153, plan of 451 Boyce Corner Road, St. George's 100, north side of Boyce Corner Road, Route 896, 1,250 feet east of Summit Bridge Road, major land development plan that proposes to construct 107,100 square feet of mini warehouse buildings and a 2,000 square foot office. I zoning, Council District 12, Mr. Bell.
Madam Chair, the zoning is correct for this particular type of facility. I am familiar with the fact that the applicant has sort of canvassed and spoken with several of the folks in the adjoining neighbors. I don't really have any question or concerns over at this point. Open to questions from council if the applicant would like to make any form of presentation. Certainly open to that also.
Is the applicant in the audience that you would like to make a presentation? I don't see any. Any questions from council? Oh, he's walking up. We have a light shining right in our eyes here. Mr. Tarabicos.
Good afternoon. This was presented about a year and a half ago to council as a rezoning. It was approved unanimously. Nothing's really changed, frankly, some tweaking of the plan, but we have designed the site. Is there a, Mr. Boyle, can we have a way to advance the slides?
Would he quit?
There's only three. In any event, it was designed with community input. That's a three-mile radius of the area that shows that there's no storage facilities anywhere near in southern Newcastle County. Next slide, please. That shows you all of the landscaping that will be done. It's about $110,000 worth of landscaping that will be done to shield it and buffer it from adjoining neighbors. And if we can slip to the next slide, that's just a look of the office that will be in the front of the site. But all of this was previously presented, and I don't have anything else unless you have questions.
Thank you. Any questions from council? Mr. Smiley.
I wasn't going to, but since you came up, I got to have some fun. Is there a bus stop adjacent to this?
Councilman Weiler, is that Councilman Weiler?
I question that because I had a plan for a storage unit on 13, and Del Doc forced them to put up a bus shelter. So I was just curious, because you may have somebody bring a reefer or something to put a storage unit on a bus.
Not real close by. No, not yet.
I just can't get over it.
Any other comments? Any comments from the public on this project? Seeing none, we will move to
Sir.
Resolution 19154, plan of Country House, Christiana 100, west side of Kennett Pike, 480 feet south of Old Gatehouse Road. Major land development plan that proposes to expand the existing facilities by 213,444 square feet to include 55 additional independent living apartments with private assigned surface parking under the building as zoning council district 2. Ms. Durham.
Thank you very much. I think council is familiar with this project, but I'll turn things over to the representative for the project, Wendy Stabler, and to tell you a little bit more and answer any questions that there might be.
Thank you. My name is Wendy Stabler. I'm here for the applicant, Axe Retirement Communities. They are the largest nonprofit operator of continuing care retirement facilities in the United States. And Councilman Smiley, there is in fact a bus stop right out in front of the Country House on located on Route 52, which they required that we put in some time ago. Folks might be familiar with this. It is along Route 52 along the Kennett Pike. It is a scenic byway. It is a longstanding facility that has been there since the 60s. The original intent was to house aging clergy and educators. It has since grown and expanded many times. Council may recollect I was here a few months ago with respect to an affiliated plan which had to do with the expansion of the facility for 10 duplex independent living cottages. I signaled then that I might be back before you shortly for the master plan. This has been a plan of approximately 2 to 3 years before we even started with the master planning with the community, actually more like five. We've been in the process for 3 years. This has been very, very supported by the Kennett Pike Association as well as the residents who have been extremely active in the development of this master plan. Jimmy, can you put the next slide on, please? This just shows the location on Kennett Pike. It's actually right across from Winnetur and Wilmington Country Club. Next slide. This gives you a sense of the facility as it exists now. It has over 1,000 feet of setback from Kennett Pike, which was a handshake deal with the community years ago. It does not appear in any document of record, but has been respected by the Country House as we expand. So somehow we've managed to maintain that large expanse out front and to propose an expansion that is no further forward than existing parking lot. Next slide, please. This is the campus site plan. So the plan before council involves in addition to the 20 cottages that were previously approved and 10 duplex units, 55 independent living units, as well as about 200,000 square foot of amenity space. This will really be an incredible enhancement of the existing facility where people want to age in place. They now want venues like bistros, fitness facilities, auditoriums. And this is really going to be the retirement and continuing care facility for the future. There are many really great elements of the plan. Let me just run through them. Next slide, Jim. Thanks. This is just the record plan, which is a bit complicated. You all have that, I'm sure, in your packages. It's been through every single board, including the Historic Review Board, the Resource Protection Technical Advisory Board, the Board of Adjustment, the Planning Board, and now this council. It has been very, very heavily vetted. And the next slide shows just a few of the key elements of this. Continuation of the longstanding institutional use, that is infill, extensive vetting by all of the neighbors and the existing residents, very strong focus on open space preservation, scenic byway setback, maintenance of community character and protection of the view sheds, organic growth to meet the demands of our active seniors. I ask for your support. The next few slides just give you some idea of how much open space we've, and in addition to the open space I showed you initially, part of the project is a donation to the Museum of Natural History, where they are currently building walking trails which will connect to the Country House project. That was a full donation by the Country House for its neighbor, the Museum of Natural History. Next slide. These are some of the historic structures. I know Councilwoman Durham is very interested in them. We are very good stewards. We have an existing foundation, a spring house, as well as a house that is existing on the property and will be preserved. I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm also here with Lisa Donlin and Terry White from the Country House, should Council have any questions.
Any questions or comments from Council? Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Stabler, something, just an observation, but something that, since you represent this applicant, that I have heard repeatedly down in our area, and we're actually getting ready to review an application for a very similar situation on a parcel in our, Councilman Carter's, but it borders mine. But what we've heard over, and it's something that we don't appear to have in Newcastle County, but our surrounding states do, and maybe downstate, but I'm not sure, where they can actually have end-of-life services also, you know, there. And it's just something that, for whatever reason, no applicant has or developer has identified that component for Newcastle County, but it's something that we hear a lot that residents would actually like to see. Do you have any take on that as to why?
So, well, we are constrained from a space standpoint there. We do have continued care. In other words, we have independent living, assisted living, and skilled nursing. I think, Councilman Tackett, you're referring to the element of hospice care, which Council may recall that it's actually a very controversial application to bring a physical hospice facility to Newcastle County. It eventually was approved. I think there was actually some litigation, but unfortunately I think there were issues associated with financing that, and they ended up actually not proceeding after a significant capital campaign. Mm-hmm. It's an extremely important element. I personally have had had to use it, and there's just no, they're incredible at what they do. So I'm not sure, Terry White is here, and Terry, if you could just come up and answer. I know the services are provided, I'm just not sure there's a specific set aside. Apologies for Terry coming up.
Not a problem. Terry, just state your name before you
speak.
You
might have nailed it with the space constraints, that we just don't have enough space in Newcastle County to.
Can I just make, I'm Terry White with Axe Retirement Life Communities. So we actually do have a Delaware hospice license that does provide services to Country House and Cokesbury Village.
Cokesbury Village?
They're owned by the community. They're our sister community. They're owned by the same organization.
Up towards PA, right?
Hoquessin?
Out Lancaster.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In hospice, many of the hospice rooms are leased from other facilities. So if there was, you know, like Manor Nursing Care, they lease Delaware Hospice a certain number of rooms. So there's, the provision is there, even though we don't actually have a facility directly dedicated to one hospice. Any other questions from Council? Ms. Stern.
I just a quick comment. I just wanted to state for the record that there is support in the community for the project, which the company that runs this facility is obviously takes very good care of the property, and Kennett Pike Association, I think you already mentioned, is supportive, and it is on the byway, which we do appreciate the scenic vistas being preserved, and I just wanted to mention too that Wendy and I have been talking about exploring the possibility of the historic resources that are currently well cared for, but just everywhere I go, I'm just trying to encourage property owners to proactively put H zoning wherever possible or wherever they would consider it. So hopefully the Axe will consider doing that for the historic resources on its property.
Any other questions? Any comments from the public? Mr. Street.
Well, we might as well get this party started now. I didn't create the agenda, since it's on here. On the one hand, on Route 52, we're going to put this fabulous country house. And the proponents have no problem if my legislation landfill doesn't pass, taking the construction debris and putting it down in Minkledale, in my landfill, gonna do all we can to make life happy and accommodate the residents on Route 52 off the shoulders and on the backs of the people who live in my district and are literally dying from cancer from the landfill. In my opinion, the sad irony of this is indicative of how fundamentally unfair and flat out rotten the whole situation is. And I didn't create this agenda, but to have this on one hand of the day's agenda and the landfill on the other is the epitome of fundamental unfairness, wrongdoing, environmental injustice.
Any other comments from council? Mr. Carter.
I just want to highlight, I wanted to really express my appreciation for your commitment to the open space, the maintenance of community character, and particularly your thing in your August 20 letter to us for the protection of view sheds. I do believe it is an important responsibility of council to protect view sheds, and one that we should do throughout Newcastle County.
Any other comments from council? Any comments from the public? And we will move on to, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anything else, Wesley, that you want
to
say?
Thank you.
19155, to rename the residential apartment complex recorded as the Town Court Apartments, tax parcel number 09020000009, to Thorn Flats, Council District 5, Ms. Diller.
Yes, this is a simple renaming of an apartment complex, and due diligence has been done with public safety.
Any questions from council? Any comments from the public? Thank you. Move to ordinances 19047, revise the zoning map, Newcastle 100, south side of Pulaski Highway, approximately 1,100 feet east of Salem Church Road, 1604, 1612, 1616, and 0, Pulaski Highway. Tax parcel numbers 10048000001, 10048000002, 10048000003, and 10048000004, 4.69 acres from NC21 Neighborhood Conservation to CR Commercial Regional. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This particular plan is a request to rezone from Neighborhood Conservation to Commercial Regional, and the applicant is present today, and if he would care to make a brief presentation. I want to point out we've had a lot of success in our district with applicants that have reached out, and you'll hear it time and time again on the council floor, but have reached out to neighboring communities and developed work groups. That was the case with the many storage buildings down off 896 and Boyd's Corner Road, and as such, it's the case with this particular proposal to rezone and develop a Lidl grocery facility, grocery store, in an area that I believe does need additional infrastructure. But we have two folks that are here with us tonight, Mr. and Mrs. Taylor, who is in the audience, and they actually served on the work group, and we participated at our office in some of the work group meetings, and I think the end result is that the give and take, the understanding of projects and how they'll affect the neighboring communities, the character of the community, as well as infrastructure, that's vitally important to the success of good land use. And it's things that years past probably were not done as well as they should have been done and are done today. But we have had no opposing views up to this point on this particular rezoning or this project. And like I say, I in particular want to thank the members of the community in the work group that are participating, giving up their time to attend numerous meetings to have direct input into the processing of this plan. So with that, Sean Tucker is here representing the applicant, Lytle, and I appreciate the work that that you have done.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Good afternoon, members of council.
Chairperson Kilpatrick. For the record, my name is Sean Tucker, and as Councilman Bell indicated, I represent Lidl, and Lidl did, in fact, agree to form a working group of immediate neighbors to discuss this project well over a year ago and help shepherd that project through along with a series of adjustments and changes to address certain concerns that we received from those working group members. Here with me this evening, or this afternoon, excuse me, used to be on the 8th floor.
Sorry to confuse.
For now, here I'm really confused. Here with me this afternoon is Adam Hendrick, who's representative from Lidl, David Kuklish, who's with Boyle Engineering, and our traffic engineer, Betty Tustin. Next slide, please. The parcel or parcels that we're seeking the rezoning for this afternoon are located at 1604 Pulaski Highway. It's about a 4.7-acre site, and it's currently occupied mostly by a nursery. This property is located close to the intersection of Porter Road and Route 40, for those of you familiar with the area. There's a Food Lion on the opposite side of Route 40 as a further reference. Behind us, in the upper left, is Waterford, and that is the community that we had reached out to for possible working group members. We also, of course, reached out to folks that Councilman Bell had asked us to in his district, and also reached out to Councilman Tackett, who's directly across the street early on in the process. And we were certainly able to form that working group and meet for some time. Next slide, please. Here's a few pictures just to give you an idea of the character of the property today and how it's currently being used as a nursery. Next slide, please. And just to highlight the 4.7 acres in particular and the zoning pattern in the area, at least in the immediate area, you see the existing CR up Route 40. You see the NCMM, which is part of the Waterford rezoning, to our rear. As was indicated in the introduction, the property that we're seeking the rezoning for today is zone NC21. We are seeking a CR, commercial regional zoning, and I'll show you just a little bit the nature of the CR in the area, and it's a pretty significant presence already under the zoning, and we're mirroring that and to a large extent with this application today. Next slide, please. This is an artist rendering, to some extent, of the layout of the property and the proposed development. The existing building, the existing nursery building, is approximately 12,000 square feet. The proposed buildings, the primary one being the Lidl grocery store, is approximately 29,000 square feet. And there is an additional building to the right of a large proposed grocery store, which is a retail pad site of approximately 7,000 square feet. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. As was mentioned, there were meetings with the community working group that was formed, and we had four meetings to date, the first one starting in September of 2018. We certainly will continue to meet with our neighbors until the final record plan stage. Next slide, please. I'll run through the legal standard briefly. As council is well aware, one of the legal requirements for us to proceed under rezoning is to establish consistency with our comprehensive development plan. In quick summary, we are located in a level 1 and level 2 investment area. This is a project that represents infill and redevelopment. It provides an additional a mix of uses, if you will, in the area, and I'll drill down into that in just a moment. And it's certainly an additional employment opportunity for the area. Next slide. Drilling down first into the actual map out of the state strategy and investment publication, as well as our comp plan, you see the level 1 and level 2 areas in red and the yellow. We're predominantly in a level 1. That, of course, is the area where we are encouraged by both state and county planners and officials to invest in development because of the proximity to infrastructure. Next slide, please. Again, I mentioned the infill redevelopment, and just in summary, that is
something strongly encouraged by our comp plan. Next slide, please. Consistency with the character of the neighborhood and consistency with zoning and uses of nearby properties. This is a pretty substantial commercial corridor. I'm going to drop down the zoning map on top of this proximate area in just a moment, but it gives you an idea for the density in the area and the makeup of the area. And you see the food line directly across the street from our client's parcel, which is identified with that red dot towards the upper center of the screen. Next, please. And this is the colorized version of the comp plan and the zoning map. And in particular, you'll notice the site towards the center. And you see that large swath of CR zoning that cuts down the center of Route 40 in this area. Again, a well-known commercial corridor. You also see I nearby, ON, office neighborhood. You pretty much have every flavor of zoning here except heavy industrial. So it's a really good, healthy mix of uses and diversity in uses, and our proposal today, we would respectfully submit, is consistent, adding some additional CR to that existing commercial corridor. Next, please. One of the things we are always careful to do in the working group process is provide view sheds and different angles of line of sight to our neighbors so they can assess what impact any new construction may have. And here you can just see a couple of examples of how we have buffered neighboring properties from this development, either through the use of existing vegetation that is further enhanced with new vegetation. A good example of that is in the top right slide, where you see large trees to the left of that upper picture, and then you see green giants to the right that are offset to further enhance that view shed. We've also taken advantage, as you can see in the bottom right picture, of some berming in the area and added some additional fencing to further modify that as well. On our site today, there is no existing stormwater management because of the age of the nursery. So we certainly, under today's plan, will be adding stormwater management, enhancing that feature on the site. The UVC buffering, obviously, is depicted in the pictures. And the architectural design is also, you should see at least one example of that. I'm going to drill down just a little bit further into that. You see that one side view there of the proposed grocery store building. We do not require any variances for this application regarding consistency of the property for the proposed use. We're certainly in close proximity to the commercial corridor, and we're in close proximity to transit stops as well. Next slide, please. In terms of potential impact on the community, we were required, as part of this rezoning application, to perform a traffic impact study. There you see all of the intersections that were studied, intersections required by the county and also by DelDOT are summarized there. There were 14. Next slide. And this is a list of the developments that we were required to consider committed as part of the scoping process of that traffic impact study. So first, we obviously go out, or our traffic engineer does, to take measurements of current traffic volumes. And then we also take into account those plans that aren't built yet but are considered committed, and add that traffic into the analysis so that we don't miss any traffic because of the gap between approval and development. Those committed developments, and there's approximately 11, I believe, there, were considered committed and plugged into the analysis. And at the end of the day, we're happy to say that level of service D or better is achievable at all studied intersections. There is an additional lane of travel that's being added in the near future by DelDOT as part of the Route 40 upgrades, but that additional lane actually turned out not to be required in order for us to satisfy level of service. Our improvements, again, to meet level of service, will require some signal improvements, some timing, some software upgrades. Sometimes they're done by DelDOT as part of the Route 40 upgrade, and certainly some curb cut modifications and enhancements. But the condition of Route 40 in this area is actually functioning pretty well. We were fortunate in that regard. The leader will not have to spend a significant amount of money here on infrastructure because of the existing level of service, which is pretty good today. In accordance with our Supreme Court's ruling in the Bowery Mill case, we do have the traffic study available for anybody who may want to review that. And our traffic engineer is certainly here to answer any questions folks may have also generally about the traffic analysis that was performed. Next slide, please. The final area we're required to cover under the guiding principles included in the UDC today, has, and some of this overlaps with the rezoning standards, have to do with architecture, and again, focusing on these areas that are designated for growth. Architecture is certainly important. Irene Fogley, I think, was probably the first general manager that really put an extra emphasis on that, and I think we've all done well by her in that regard, for sure. So we do focus on that more today than we did years ago, and this is the initial rendering that we showed the planning board. On the board in front of me, and directly in front of me, we've made some additional enhancements to that at the department's request as part of their review of this application. We've included additional brick, and that is a facade-type brick, but we've included, as you can see on the board in front of me, some additional brick and some additional landscaping, particularly on the left side of the building that's going to front the parking lot to create some additional features there and some additional variation in architecture. Next, please. One of the things we were happy to do here is create a connection between our proposed project and Waterford so that folks could actually walk from their home without having to get in their car and drive out onto Route 40 and further add traffic volume there. So we did create a walking path. There's certainly sidewalks along Route 40 and a multi-use path. And, of course, we have transit stops in the area as well. Next, please. I mentioned the landscaping, and again, I apologize, these standards overlap a little bit with the rezoning standards, but we were very careful with our working group. We showed them an initial landscaping plan, and then we actually had modifications to address those specific concerns that were ultimately worked out and agreed to and appear in this final artist rendering of that landscaping plan. Next slide, please. And that's as quick as I could do it, summary of the application so that I could at least touch on each of the legal standards. And we're certainly happy to answer any questions you may have this afternoon. Thank you.
Mr. Paul, did you want to say anything prior to going to council for comments? I can't see you.
No, ma'am. I made the preliminary comments prior to the presentation and certainly welcome any public comment or questions from council.
All right. Questions from council, Mr. Smiley.
Yeah, I'm just curious, battling this in my own district. Does this particular food service agency, do they plan on, as part of their building, using the cart locking mechanism to keep the carts from leaving the property?
That I know that is something that Lidl was struggling with as a company policy about a year ago. I do not know if they made a final decision. I do have Adam Hedrick here, and I'm getting a no on that. So I think I'm safe to say we're not going to do that at this location.
Just something for them to keep in mind. I've had this ongoing battle for years with Walmart. They're now looking at implementing them because I've gotten permission that the Delaware Solid Waste Authority will accept the carts in the landfill when I have to gather them up off the roads and out of my community. So it's something to keep in mind.
Understood, Councilman.
Any other questions from Council? Mr. Woods.
So, Sean, I have a question. On the placement of the building, I noticed that the loading dock and everything, and the trash cans, I'm assuming, are against the community side. Is that something that was taken into consideration in the community meetings with the community instead of putting it on the other side closer to the road?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Councilman. It was something that we talked about in the working group process and also talked to the department about. There is significant buffering there. There is a pond or a stormwater management facility and then buffering behind that. And there's actually a pretty significant grade delta. So it was discussed. It's a spot-on comment.
and people were comfortable that we had enough buffering there so that would not present a long-term problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council? Questions from the public on this issue? Any comments from the public? Thank you, Mr. Tucker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello, I'm Adrienne Davis Taylor. I'm here with my husband, Kerry Taylor, and we live in Waterford. I've lived in Waterford since 1990, and we have been on the working group since September 2018. We love Lidl. We think that this is going to be a great addition to Route 40. We've taken all of the feedback in our community and given it at our working group, and I have to say, Route 40 needs a little bit of class. That building is stunning. It's going to be a just a lovely, lovely addition to Route 40. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
While Mrs. Taylor is up here, I just want to once again reiterate the fact of community involvement, and both her and her husband and others from the community participated in a focus group, had direct input, and it speaks volumes for your commitment to your community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Picking through for these a lot quick. Just.
Thank you. Ordinance 19046 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 40 Unified Development Code, Article 3 Use Regulations, and Article 33 Definitions regarding landfills. Mr. Street.
Yes, Madam Chairman. My 80 Shawnee Jackson is going to pass out to each council person three things that I want to make sure in the record and the council has. This legislation is, at this point, co-sponsored by myself, Councilwoman Boone, Councilman Carter, Councilman Smalley, Councilman Bell, and Councilman Hollins. Before I, yes, Councilman
Street, I would like to request that I be added as a co-sponsor, if that would be okay. You're absolutely okay, Councilman. Thank you very much. All right. I want to start out by letting you see part of District 10. Mr. Bull, could you go to Diamond? Right outside the city, right outside of South Bridge, we have Dynamo Materials. And that's been there, of course, long before I ever got in office. It's next to residential areas. And it's what I have to deal with, what the residents that live there have to deal with. This by itself is the epitome of environmental injustice. Mr. Bull, go to the landfill, please. Probably somewhere in the middle of the district. There's a landfill, and historically, everybody needs to understand that where our public safety building was in the 70s, this was actually started next to what was then Minkwoodale School. So this is in the middle of the district. And on the south end of the district, right underneath the Delaware Memorial Bridge. There's what I call a gas bomb that DNRAC allowed to be planted there, which last Thanksgiving weekend shut the Delaware Memorial Bridge down. Delaware Memorial Bridge got paid for its inconvenience, and far too many of the residents that live there were not notified. I want to go to, before I go any further, I want to follow protocol and recognize the presence of State Representative Franklin Cook. Representative. I'm going to first go to the document that's dated December 30, 2015, and this is the permit that DNRAC gave Waste Management to raise the height of the landfill from 70 feet to 130 feet. Supposed to have been a 10-year permit expiring, supposed to have been over in 2025, and here we are less than halfway into the period, and they're asking for additional height. In my opinion, the problem that they maintain they have is self-imposed, primarily due to greed. Number one, there's a lot of trash that comes from Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and number two, as they bragged at the committee hearing held by the Delaware House of Representatives, they're the cheapest. They charge $40-some a ton, whereas the surrounding five competitors charge $65 a ton, so they're making the money. And again, in my opinion, off the backs of the residents, District 10. Not last year, not last month, but this article dated August 20th, DNRAC approved slag grinding right outside of South Bridge, next to what the city is going to brag about, $2.4 million renovation to Eden Park, where my children play, not far from a newly opened daycare center in Easy Mount Fair Church. And nowhere else in this state is this kind of unfairness allowed. And this editorial that I made you a copy of dated August 1st in the News Journal, and two of these three documents I did put in the planning board record, makes it clear that even though the Civic Association supports this, there's a street right next to Waste Management called Lovelace Avenue. And this resident makes it crystal clear that I don't support this. And as a matter of fact, it's at least six of us, six people, including my son in this block, that have cancer. And I don't think it's happenstance that it's right next to the landfill at the planning board hearing. I'm sorry, at the public hearing held by the House of Representatives, or it may have been at the planning board, but in this whole public process, one man complained that he couldn't plant vegetables and couldn't have a garden because he would be afraid for his family to eat it. Another lady said she brought a little mini swimming pool, and her kids couldn't swim in it, couldn't play in it because of all the dirt in it coming from the landfill. There are others who want to speak. This is my beginning. And this is not limited. There's a position that is directed solely like waste management. No, it's not. Y'all included, too. Because eventually, whether it's allowed to go through 190 feet, 390 feet, it's going to close. And nowhere in this county should this be allowed to happen again. Those who plan to fail, and we as a government should not be in that business. And I'm going to close my remarks for right now. The fact of the matter is, since I've been in office, 2004, everything has been brought forward by anybody, including this last slag grinding. DENREC has authorized in my district. The only thing that didn't get approved was waste management request to have fly ash, and DENREC didn't deny that down. They just changed their mind. This needs to stop. And I want to respectfully suggest I'm doing my job. But if we as a government, we as Newcastle County, don't change this, it's not going to be changed. The senator that represents the area, House passed legislation to stop the height of the landfill at 130 feet. He went and played hide-and-go-seek with it, threw it in the drawer. DENREC continues to approve this, that, and the third in my district off the backs of the people that I represent. And this being a cancer cluster, a cancer hotspot, doesn't matter to anybody. Now, I have said all that to say, this was my position when I sponsored when I put the legislation in, and it came forward around May 1st. And I hadn't had a scintilla of a discussion or a reference with artesian water. The position that artesian makes it worse, but it started with everything I said prior to. And I want to respectfully suggest to you, we don't stop it. It don't get stopped. And I'm going to say to you the same thing I said to the planning board. If this was your district, you were the council person for this district, what would you do, and what would you expect council to do? The will of council be the will of council. But it's time for this to stop. This fundamental unfairness and this flat-out rottenness wouldn't be allowed anywhere else in this county or in this state. And up there where they got the country house, as I said at the planning board meeting, they wouldn't allow 30 inches, let alone 190 feet.
The legislation has the recommendation and support of both the planning board and the land use department, and at this time the department may want to add some comments, and the reason for it is it's making a recommendation to in support of it.
Does the department wish to make a statement at this time?
Good afternoon. Richard Hall, General Manager of Department Land Use for the county, and I'm just here to answer questions relevant to my department, and to also share with you that the administration and the department, of course, supports the draft ordinance. We have representatives from the executive's office here as well as myself. This ordinance is fairly straightforward and amends the UDC for height and creates a special use for landfills. So I will leave it at that.
Thank you. If we have waste management and artesian in the room, if they would like to come up and make a statement so that everybody has all of the information that they would that everyone would like to impart before they start with our council comments.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Are we wanting to do that short PowerPoint or not? I know we've talked to council.
Yes.
We are doing it. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. We should enter it into the record.
Sorry about that. This is just a short PowerPoint to go over some of the key provisions of the draft ordinance and some of the key issues that surround it. So the key issues and context here are concern about dust, debris, water pollution, visual pollution, and other types of pollution. As Councilman Street laid out, much better for you than I can, environmental justice and quality of life issues. It's adjacent to the county's public safety building. The current permit limits the height to 130 feet. They want to modify the permit from the state. That's a state process. Go up to 190 feet. And as the slide says there, I make it almost equivalent to a 20-story building, just for reference. Roughly 50% of the waste comes from outside the state. One issue that's sort of new, and may not be aware of, for those of you who have been out there recently, but the Markell Trail, which has a huge public investment that recently opened and is really now getting very operational. That landfill is very visible. It's immediately adjacent to the Markell Trail. And then lastly, concern about impacting the aquifer for water supply. You saw some photos before. This is just another photograph of the area. And next slide. This is the view from the Markell Trail I was just referring to a few minutes ago. This is taken right from the trail itself. Next slide, please. Another issue that was brought up before was income of the area and environmental justice. And so you can see, what you see there is in the middle, that shape there, the aerial photograph, that is the landfill with the boundary around it. And what you're seeing around it are average median family incomes. That's a typical measuring point that many folks use in studying income for an area. And just for reference, the countywide median family income is over $68,000 per year. And you can see all the areas around the landfill are significantly lower than that median family income. Next slide, please. This is showing you zoning around the landfill. Again, the landfill is right in the middle there. The air photograph is not colored. And you can see the different color zones. I'm not going to go over each of the different zoning districts here, just to say it's a mix of residential and commercial, primarily residential commercial zoning districts around the landfill. The landfill is HI. Next slide, please. And now I'm going to turn the baton over to Council of Council. Thank you.
Before I discuss the specifics of the ordinance, there are a few issues that I would like to address. First, it has been suggested that this ordinance would only impact DRPI's landfill, but not other landfills such as Cherry Island. This is not accurately stated. This ordinance is intended to regulate all presently existing landfills, as well as any landfills that come online in the future. This is in part a proactive action by council to address landfills in the county generally, present and future. Among other locations, I'm sure we'll be talking about in a moment, or later rather, there's been consideration to place a landfill in southern Newcastle County. This ordinance is being enacted partly with this in mind and in all future locations. It's a matter of when, not if, there will be a future landfill. However, the ordinance regulates only those landfills over which the county has jurisdiction, number one, and two, has not been preempted by law. To this point, there is only one existing and active landfill located in Newcastle County, and that is DRPI's. There's been talk about Cherry Island landfill not being subject to the ordinance, and that's true for two reasons. First, Cherry Island is located outside Newcastle County. We're located wholly within the city of Wilmington and therefore not subject to county law. Secondly, DSWA, which operates Cherry Island landfill as an entity created by the General Assembly, is subject to regulation by the General Assembly itself, not the county. In particular, Delaware Code, Title 7, Chapter 64, makes clear that Cherry Island is not subject to land use regulations. Consequently, the county is preempted from regulating Cherry Island landfill. Point two, in addition, DNREC and DRPI agreed to terms of a permit, which is an agreement of sorts. The express terms of the permit established that 130 feet would be the final maximum landfill elevation. Those are the actual words. The ordinance would simply hold DRPI to the agreed-upon terms of the permit between DRPI and DENREC, and their reasonable expectations based upon that language. Point three, the ordinance reflects the intent of the General Assembly and DENREC to show a high degree of deference to county home rule and the exercise of its zoning police powers, granted under the Delaware Constitution through the General Assembly to the counties. Despite misstatements that the ordinance is not consistent with the permitting process, the General Assembly and DENREC made it express in Title VII, Section 6003, that's also repeated in DENREC's regulations, that landfill permits are expressly subject to the county's zoning laws, and no permit may be issued by DENREC unless the county first approves the landfill as consistent with its zoning. Point four, it has been suggested that the process, although it's not clear what is meant by this, but presumably DRPI is referring to public notice and public meetings, was somehow insufficient. In fact, the process was more robust than is required by law, by not only complying with the minimal requirements related to a UDC text amendment, but by also providing additional legal notice in the following ways. One, under state law, the REIT sponsor had the right to bring the ordinance to council to vote within 45 days of introduction. It's also incorporated into council's rules, which means with an introduction in late April, the ordinance could have been brought to council for consideration in early June. Instead, the REIT sponsors specifically determined that the ordinance should have as full and robust a discussion as possible. Two, the Land Use Department was not required to send the ordinance to PLUS. It's within its discretion, but for the same reasons as noted above, for a full and complete and robust discussion, the ordinance was submitted to PLUS. Three, something very unusual, the ordinance had a great deal of public notice, unusual compared, frankly, to most other ordinances. And in part, this was as a result of it being discussed generally at the public meeting in May of this year by DENREC. And then fourth, notice for the ordinance was greater than required under law, specifically the clerk of council notice up the ordinance, in other words, put it out for public notice for the road to read, twice as long as the time period required under law. The fifth point pertains to the reasoning for the maximum height of 140 feet. Now, there were several considerations, and you're going to hear others talking about that later. But among those considerations was the following. The maximum height would allow for existing landfills subject to Newcastle County's jurisdiction to go up to 140 feet. In the case of DRPI, this would allow them to increase the landfill height by an additional 10 feet from 130 to 140 feet. The point behind this was to strike a reasonable balance of council's concerns related to health, welfare, and safety of the surrounding area, while allowing DRPI time to reasonably continue with its business and continue employing individuals while allowing for sufficient time to transition operations and smooth transition of fill to other sites, or frankly, to use the site for other permissible purposes. Based upon DRPI's submission in DENREC, noting that there were in excess of 2 years of life of the landfill, and frankly using similar math to what DRPI employed in its application, the 2015 application provided for an increase of somewhere 40 feet, perhaps more, over a 10-year time span, thus providing for an increase of 4 feet per year for the landfill. Therefore, allowing a height increase as proposed by the ordinance of 10 feet that would allow for up to an additional 2.5 years of life at the current site, in addition to what DRPI has said is still on the table, so to speak, given the 130 feet limitation. This would allow in the aggregate an estimated 3 to 4 years total left at the site. And I note this is reasonable, especially given the backdrop.
DRPI agreed with DEMREC that 130 feet would be the final maximum elevation of the landfill. Six, it has been suggested that this is a spot zoning. Spot zoning is a form of rezoning. This does not rezone this tract of land. The parcel will remain HI as it currently is. Seven, DRPI contends that they have a vested right. I'm not going to debate that, assuming only for argument's sake that they do. The Delaware Supreme Court has addressed the issue of vested rights numerous times, including most recently within the last year. Specifically, the court said generally a property owner has no vested right to have an existing zoning classification or an existing zoning ordinance continue unchanged if the, in this case the county, the government, rationally exercises its police powers and determines that a change in zoning is required for the well-being of the community. That's consistent with the intent here. Vested rights may be impaired by subsequent police power enactments necessary to protect public health or safety. Court noting that zoning legislation should be progressive, not static, and sufficiently flexible to adjust to change conditions in the interest of the public welfare. Among the factors the court should consider include the ordinance's effects on public health and welfare, including safety, education, transportation, medical services, utilities, and environmental concerns. All points that were contemplated by the sponsors of this legislation. Turning to the actual ordinance itself, as noted previously, the code section proposes to enforce a 140-foot maximum height for all landfills. In order to do so, requests to increase the height must demonstrate compliance with the following standards, and it's a balancing test of multiple objective factors that have been applied across the country to landfills, and the factors are the benefits of and the need for the height increase, the impact on the health of residents nearby, the impact on values of real property in the area, the impact on traffic in the surrounding area, the impact on noise and visual blight to the surrounding area, the impact on stormwater, water discharge and flooding in the area, all other impacts on health, safety, and general welfare of nearby residents, the compatibility with the policies and objectives of the comp plan for Newcastle County, the impact on and compatibility with immediate residents and neighborhoods, and whether the benefits of the height increase outweigh the negative impacts. The purpose of the balancing test is to reasonably restrict the exercise of discretion by the decision makers. Finally, landfills now become special uses in the HI zoning. Jim, if you could move to the next slide, please. This notes the General Assembly's grant of broad zoning powers to the county, to all counties, frankly, under Title IX. And it brings home the point noted, referred to earlier about DEMREC's regulations addressing solid waste that require the proof that all applicable zoning approvals have received local environmental permits. And as noted earlier, no permit is to be granted unless the county has first approved the activity by zoning. Zoning procedures. And finally, the proposal of amendments clarifies how the UDC regulates landfills. Thank you.
And can we have Waste Management come up and make a presentation? And we would ask that it be brief.
Members of Council, my name is Wendy Stabler. I'm here on behalf of Waste Management and Delaware Recycling Products, Inc. So I have a job to do. I have to advocate for a client, in this case, a company that operates a landfill, not a very popular use, I'm sure, and not a lot of people coming out to cheer us on, so I understand that. The Department of Land Use has a role in the process, of course, and they're supposed to be impartial and to assess as professional planners whether an ordinance before you is supported by the facts and technical data. And, of course, you as council members need to weigh those facts, the data, the information you receive, and to take into account the input from your constituents. That's difficult here, and others, especially when they are getting information that we believe is inaccurate, misinformation, not based upon the real technology, and is being put forth in a way that causes a lot of people a lot of anxiety and fear. Just talk about people's drinking water and see how you get your calls, a lot of them. And we get it. There's, you know, we said it before, there's nothing more important than drinking water. So that's a good way to get people hyped up, and then they are here. But we absolutely think that the facts do not support any threat to the water supply. We believe that it is very clear that this ordinance, by the pictures and the presentation, is directed to one company and one company alone. And that's not a good premise to pass legislation. Councilman Street indicated that no landfill should be in New Castle County, but his attorney said, well, yeah, we're planning for future landfills in the county by this legislation. Not sure which it is. I'm here to tell you that it is targeted to one company, a company that is responsibly operating a landfill that is a needed part of this county's infrastructure. Construction and demolition debris, we've got a lot of it. We want redevelopment. What are we going to do with it? With really no plan, and Delaware Solid Waste Authority isn't really the answer, doesn't really want it. But the county council is being asked to step in, and there's a very compelling environmental justice piece. I'm really sorry that there seems to be a racial piece to it, because it's not about that. It is infill. It is there already. It's been there for 30 years. It makes the most sense to go up, just like it makes sense at the country house to build where it is. They're there. I'm sorry it's there for some, but the idea is to share those burdens with some of the people. We've offered to do that through a community services agreement negotiated at great length during the context of a DENREC permit process in front of the technical people that know what they're doing, that can go through the reams of information, which I'll put into the record tonight, not here today. It's not the formal record. It's going to cost the county a lot of money to go forward with this. It is not going to give us an alternative to waste disposal. Jobs will be lost. And politics is what it is. I get it. But in acting of the ordinance, we'll actually deprive the community of the very benefits that the services agreement would provide. Most people, just to wrap it up, I want to offer up Mike Brennan. He is the Senior Environmental Counsel for Waste Management. He's been in this business for a very long time, as well as the experts, both the retained experts as well as folks that work day in, day out at this facility that have been involved in the groundwater monitoring and that understand the hydrogeology a lot better than I do, to share with you so that you can share with your constituents that you've heard the evidence and that you, to the extent that you can weigh it, are convinced that you are doing the right thing and that their water supply is not under threat. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, I understand, because it's really overwhelming. Let's leave it to DENREC. It's their job to regulate landfills. They've done a heck of a good job. They'll put conditions on this, and we're prepared to let them put those conditions that, you know, win or lose. It's not necessarily the end of the game here. I just think that they're there for a reason. County does a lot of things really well, but environmental permitting isn't really part of it. So I'd ask you vote no on the ordinance, and I'd really appreciate the opportunity to speak and to have these folks speak as well. Thank you.
And Artesian?
If you could just give us 2 minutes.
Okay.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Just not to be argumentative, but I didn't say there should never be another landfill in New Castle County. I said what happened here
should never happen again. There's a distinct difference. I wanted to make that clear on the record.
Thank you.
Michael Benning, Senior Environmental Counsel, Waste Management. I appreciate the few minutes to say something, and I had comments prepared, but I'm not going to speak those comments because I feel compelled to address remarks by Councilman Street. Councilman Street, you said in your opinion that constituents in your district are dying from cancer from the landfill. Sir, that is unsupported, that statement is irresponsible, and that statement is an abuse of your power as a councilman. There is absolutely no substantiation for that, sir. You are maligning the name, the reputation of Waste Management, the premier provider of solid waste in North America, the leader of sustainability. This is merely a continuation of the hyperbole, of the exaggeration, of the misinformation that's been going on to malign the company's name and reputation. I don't know what your agenda is.
This has to be an attack on...
No. Hold. Councilman Street can defend himself. Let him finish. Councilman Street can well defend himself, so let him finish. So, sir, you are exploiting... I sympathize with your constituents who live in...
No, you don't. You don't give a damn about any of them.
All right, this cannot be a back and forth. You may make a statement, and then we're having Artesian up to make a statement. The point is that the council needs to understand all the sides of the issue so that they hopefully can make an informed decision.
And the point is, Madam President, it should also be done in a respectful manner. No matter of this council should be attacked by anyone that's coming here to speak.
Let him bring it. Because
so
I'm going to bring it back.
All council members have their opinions and the right to speak, so does the public. But it does not give the public the right to abuse a member of this body. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But the councilman has a right to abuse a corporation, sir. Is that right?
That tone, your tone is not acceptable.
Well,
let
may I respond? First of all, Madam Chair, may I respond?
Yes.
First of all, there is no dispute about my residence in District 10 being a cancer cluster. There is no dispute that is called by some a cancer hotspot. Now, if you listen to the presentation and you look at the pictures, I started on the north side with diamond materials. I came down to Waste Management. I went over to Corolla. And now I didn't talk about the truck traffic, but there's no dispute. In my opinion, they're all related. And you can't say, I can't sit here and say Waste Management caused it, and you can't stand there and say you don't have a damn thing to do with it either.
Well, you did say that the
guy... Can we just finish...
...from the landfill, sir. That's what you said.
Okay, we just need to finish the comment.
I did say, and the editorial speaks for itself. I quote from the editorial, the writer says, six people on Lovelace Avenue, including her child, have cancer. And if you want to make your money, and you don't care about that lady and her little boy having cancer, that's your business. But it's up to council to decide, not you. And if you don't like me... Good. As long as I'm exasperating people like you, I know full well I'm doing my job.
Okay, we need to finish this presentation and move on to Artesian.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone from Artesian here that can give a brief overview? I think at this point we're at Artesian. There will be a public comment period tonight. I don't know how much we're going to get through today.
So, Ms. Kilpatrick, you're going to leave it for me.
It's because I love you, Ms. President. Now, we said in the beginning that this was going to be approximately a two-hour meeting because we have other things after this that we have to do, and that I was trying to limit everybody that came up from the public to a minute to 2 minutes with the ability to come back tonight and we would have public comment after the introduction of this ordinance tonight. So they get more than one chance to come up and speak. But because Waste Management is the applicant and Artesian has been extremely vocal in this, and they are groundwater is something that's associated with both, that the decision was made by me to let them both give an overview so that we understand from both sides where this is coming from. And then, yes, after that, it will be yours, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anytime. Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Carl Randall. I am general counsel of Artesian Water Company. I have present with me this afternoon two independent professionals that we have retained. I have Mr. Jeffrey Bross of Duffield Associates, and I have Mr. Peter D'Amico of Groundwater Associates. And Artesian has relied heavily on their expertise in this matter. We are here to express our wholehearted support for this ordinance. We think it is a phenomenal step forward in protecting the groundwater resources in this part of Newcastle County. We have, as a water company, unfortunately, a history of remediating pollution in the groundwater. Below the Minkwedale landfill, there is the Upper and Lower Potomac. The Upper Potomac is the source of drinking water for tens of thousands of our customers. We are removing contamination from Upper Potomac water. We are serving safe and reliable water to our customers, but it is happening at enormous expense that our customers are bearing because we do not know who the responsible parties are. We have been vocal against this application that was filed by the Delaware Recyclable Products Incorporated company to expand this landfill because there were aspects of their application that specifically gave us concern that the aquifer is not safe below their site. I can let the experts get into more of the technical detail. I want to note that we learned that there were letters submitted last week by Waste Management claiming that there is a groundwater divide that purportedly proves that water from the landfill cannot reach our public supply wells. I have a letter from Mr. D'Amico dated today that responds to that. I also have a letter that we submitted to the Water Division of DENREC, asking that they do steps regardless of what happens here, regardless of what DENREC does with the pending application before it. We need more information to know that that landfill is not one of the sources of contamination. The big problem here is the lack of information. Delaware Recyclable Products has relied upon studies that only related to a portion of their site and come from nearly a decade and a half ago or more. We do not know what the site conditions are today. They say that they have decades worth of groundwater information. They test for a small number of contaminants. And even in the limited pool that they look for, they're showing iron and manganese that is way beyond what one would expect in natural groundwater. There is reason for concern. So unless you have further questions for me, I'll just let Mr. Bross make some comments.
Fine, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Randall, Madam Chair, members of Council. My name is Jeffrey Bross. I'm with Duffield Associates. As Mr. Randall said, our firm and Mr. Miko's firm were retained to evaluate this application and make comments. And I just want to reiterate what Mr. Randall said. We believe that there is not sufficient indication to, as I think Ms. Stabler said, the facts. We believe that all the facts are not known. And that's what we're asking, is that until the facts are known, this application should not be allowed to proceed, and in fact, this ordinance should proceed. I just leave you with just a couple of key points clearly the planning board heard hours and hours of testimony. A number of you were at that hearing, God bless you. So I won't reiterate that, but the planning board, after hearing all this information, including a very lengthy presentation by DRPI, voted 6-0 to support this ordinance, and I think that's very telling. But just to leave you with just a couple of facts. The original landfill that was known as the Petrillo landfill, somewhere between 6 and 10 acres, and that portion of the landfill is unlined. And that landfill grew up in the era of Army Creek and Langolan, and we all know what happened there. We don't believe that that portion of the landfill has been adequately monitored to reflect the conditions in the Potomac. You will hear Waste Management in their letter to you argue that the Potomac clays, and in their own well, looks to be 4 feet or less beneath the landfill. We believe there are portions where it may have actually been disturbed, is adequate to prevent a release of a contaminated leachate into the lower Potomac or the upper Potomac, and eventually reach the artesian wells. So with that being said, we would urge your vote in favor of this. We do not need another 60 feet of landfill ticking away and creating a problem. Thank you. Any questions?
We'll just go to the next speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Peter D'Amico, and I'm just going to try to be very brief and cover some technical issues very shortly. One of the issues is the landfill has stated that when I made a copy of a map showing the groundwater flow in the deeper upper Potomac aquifer, that I used the wrong name. And technically, no, that is not. The material there is the upper Potomac. When you look at available groundwater level information, the best source is the USGS synoptic water levels. They were done primarily in Delaware and New Jersey, but in New Jersey, they have slightly different nomenclature. Their middle Potomac is our upper Potomac. Our upper Potomac is in Delaware, is called in New Jersey, is called the Magothy in Delaware. So it's strictly a nomenclature issue. The aquifer there, by all means, is the upper Potomac, and that is where our wells are located. I want to make that perfectly clear. It's strictly a nomenclature issue. The second issue I'd like to make is with one well in particular. It's called MW102S at the landfill. It has only 4 feet of Potomac clay. And I'm not sure, when you read my discussion, if that 4 feet of Potomac clay is even in place. And that is where the Petrillo landfill is located. And there's additional disturbance in that area, and it's highly unknown. That well needs to be further evaluated. When you look at the water level from that well, it is strongly suggestive that there is a connection at that location between the shallow Petrillo waste and the upper Potomac waste. I don't know it for sure, but that is what the data is telling me from years of practicing in hydrogeology. And 4 feet of red clay of the Potomac formation is not adequate to prevent groundwater contamination from moving from the upper Petrillo waste into our aquifer. And I can gladly point information from a much more heavily studied area, the Delaware sand and gravel, where over 10 feet of red clay was insufficient to prevent contamination from moving down gradient, and that's all I want to say.
Thank you so much. All right, we're now going to go to council. Let me just say before we start going around the council tables that to the sponsors of this, that I am absolutely in favor of regulating landfills, but I believe that it needs to be done proactively as public policy, not retroactive for one site. I know we've talked about the state code. When I look at the state code, it talks about no permit
may be granted. This permit is already granted. This is not a new application. This is a renewal application. So have somebody talked to, these are some of the questions I have. So has anyone said to DENREC, was the zoning process looked at or gone through when you first put this landfill in there? I know that Newcastle County has three wells on our land at the public safety building. I know that they monitored those wells in the first year. Those wells are 5 years old. If we're going to be concerned about our people, our police force, our paramedics, have we monitored those wells to make sure that we are part of the process of figuring out where contamination comes rather than just the hype? The Markell Trail, we've heard a lot about that. This landfill was there when the Markell Trail was designed and built, and we as a council never once heard about where this trail was going or what zoning category it was passing. I know that Councilwoman Durham and I both have and had contaminated groundwater within our districts. They both came from the same industry. They both came from cleaners. Hers is remediated at this point. Mine is not. They are in the process of remediating. Nobody came to this council and said, oh my gosh, we have contaminated groundwater. Let's ban dry cleaners from every place that we now have seen that there can be any contamination because there's any subsurface water in those areas. I think, as one of the last gentlemen said, that we don't have a lot of information. We're asking a lot of questions. As one councilman said to me, we haven't heard a word about the 130 feet or the 140 feet or the 190 feet to go up. All we've heard about is groundwater, and that's because Artesian has had an extremely focused campaign by which letters were sent to all of their customers explaining this. But I have an email that's from one of my constituents that says, I called Artesian and verified that this is going to contaminate Pike Creek's water. So I talked to Artesian, and Artesian told me, no, this is not going to contaminate that water. That water is Chester water, nothing to do with this one. So I'm a little tired of the hype. I'm a little tired of the lies. I'm tired of not having some of the conversations that I feel that we should have. Where are we looking into, we continue to dig rock out of the ground. Why aren't we not having the conversation about using the concrete that's poured into this landfill and use it as the base for basements for all construction? And use it as the base for roads. Why are we taking Earth's resources and crumbling them up when we could be recycling what we have? The community host agreement, we've heard a lot about that. In Pennsylvania and New Jersey, those are mandated. Waste management works out of both of those states. So this, yes, is something that they would do here because they do this with every landfill site that they have in other states. Have we talked to waste management? Have we sat down and talked to them about what they would be willing to do, what the compromise would be? Would they stop taking out of state waste? I understand that something like 10,000 tons a day comes into that site from Newcastle County alone. I think if we had construction waste coming in, there are credits that could be given. We turn around and we say, here's the concrete, here's the grinder, this is what you can use. Years ago when we did I-95, rather than digging up all the concrete there and throwing it away, we brought in a company from Wisconsin who did rubberizing. So they went down that road, lane by lane, and they dug up every piece of concrete that was there. They on-site ground it, and out of the back of the machine, it dropped back into the road and became the base for I-95 for the new pavement that went there. So I think that while we absolutely need this, and while I absolutely agree that there should be no heavy industry, and Mr. Street knows that I believe this, that there should be no heavy industry that's next to residential, we have taken care of this in one area. We are looking at buyouts of one community that has this same issue. We as a government, state and county, should be looking at the same thing. If we made bad zoning decisions as we came through the decades of zoning decisions, then we as a council probably have the responsibility of taking care of those. We have to look, maybe with state government, because we know they have bigger surplus than we have, of buying out at least portions of those communities and giving it some sort of proactive rezoning and buffering those communities, or working with places like waste management saying, you can't come this far. Let's, you on your property have to put the buffer in so that you are not right next to some of these communities. I know that Karen Peterson asked about horizontal or lateral filling rather than just going up. The state code is the standard in the industry is a 3-to-1 slope for just about any place that you build. If we look at a 3-to-1 slope and we know that we can move out, we automatically have a cap. We don't have to say this is an extreme footage cap, because 3-to-1, you go on and on and on, and there's going to be a point where you can't go any higher because you've run out of space to come over on a 3-to-1 slope. So I'm going to say that in good conscience tonight, I am going to not vote on this ordinance, not because I don't believe that it's needed, but I believe that we need to do it outside of an emotional environment, and we need to figure out what is good policy for Newcastle County. I have one email that I'm going to just read to you that came from a constituent of mine after he received a letter asking that he gear up his community to write to all of us. He said, Dear Mike, Dave, and Janet, that's for me, Sokola, and Smith. Meadowdale residents are concerned about the potential impact on drinking water supplies from increasing the height of the Newcastle County landfill near Minquedale. A News Journal article on July 26 intimated that the issue of waste management and Minquedale profits versus artesian and Fred's drinking water supplies. I don't think the issue is that simplistic, so I'm reluctant to advocate on behalf of the Meadowdale community without benefit of other information. For example, if the landfill height increase is not approved and operating life is limited to a year or so, what is the alternative? If a new landfill is proposed, where would it be built? And where would our trash go in the interim? More importantly, what would the cost be to Newcastle County and to Meadowdale residents via their monthly trash removal bills? Before I recommend that every Meadowdale resident, all 80 of them, write to Smith, Sokola, and Kilpatrick, I'd like to understand the consequences of a legislative prohibition like the one passed in the House last year. So those are some of my questions also. I definitely think that we need this. If this comes proactively to us at some point, I will vote for it, but I think we have a lot of talking to do before we get to that point. Now, I was planning on going around the room, as we've done sometimes, if you want to do that, or if you want to raise your hand and individually have comments, it's your choice. Any preference?
I'd love to comment as one of the primary co-authors. So that people can hear the perspective and intent that I have.
Okay. Mr. Carter.
I had planned to talk about the 15 documents that I'll be putting into the record, but based on what I've heard, I think it's important to clarify a few things. As background, many of you know, I was a scientist in Denmark for 28 years. And over those 28 years, we often cited Chapter 60 and the failure of our local governments to utilize their zoning expertise to guide our technical review on permits. It was always intended to be a shared responsibility. I also want to let you know that for me, this is a 30-year evolution. I first served as a technical advisor to the Governor's Task Force on the Vision for the Rivers that was put in place both by Governor Castle and then continued by Governor Carper. And that document specifically recommended passing code to do away with all landfills in and along the Christiana River. At that time, I visited this site with Secretary Clark. For good, sound reasons. I heard Jay talk a lot about the contaminants. I worked in this area. I did the first ever comprehensive brownfield inventory and all the toxic analysis for this area of the river, including Southbridge. Okay, I worked with these industries and helped that community develop a plan to deal with this. What you have are cumulative and secondary impacts that combine all of these. Can you say it's one industry? No. But the cumulative impact from a toxicology and a public health perspective is really, really important, and those added effects are there. When I hear people talk about it's just this landfill, I actually oversaw open space projects in southern Newcastle County out of concern because I knew there was speculation for a landfill. The Eagle's Nest Wildlife Area, almost 400 acres in my district along Blackbird Creek in the Blackbird-Millington Corridor, was being looked at. There are areas around the prison that were looked at. There were a lot of other areas. So to say it is just one site, that is not true from this co-author, because I don't think if we have another landfill that it's going to go up to the open spaces in the Greenville and Hokesson area. I do believe it's going to come south of the canal. I was comfortable with the height because the regulations in Denver set it to mean sea level, and the land elevations where there is enough land for a landfill are typically in the range of 40 to 60 feet, so the overall height is not there. So I reject any hypothesis that it is geared at one site. That is, I think, unfair to my district and my constituents. I do want to address the infill thing that we heard earlier. Infill needs to be considered in the true context. I would cite the American Planning Association's planning standards, and on page 240 and 260, it talks about the broad context of landfill or of infill. You don't see much about landfills and the toxic materials that can come with that. I think it's important to know that. I've heard a lot about misinformation, and I've heard a lot of accusations of lies and mistruths. Many of you know I'm an academic. I work at the university. I do a lot of research. These are intellectual differences that are not yet resolved. They are an important part of how we improve our science and our understanding. And the reason we do zoning and regulation is to prevent the problems with some level of precautionary principles when we have uncertainty. That said, I do have the technical capability to review many of these, and I have been reviewing volumes and volumes and thousands of pages. And what I did this morning was, recognizing that we're hearing from both sides with paid consultants, I went down and I stopped and talked to a colleague, Associate Professor in Geology, John Matson. And we had a long discussion about likelihood of a confined aquifer, and we just kind of laughed. We know they all leak. I got the same response when I spoke with Scott Andrews from Delaware Geologic Survey this morning. And then we had a big discussion about the Delaware sand and gravel. And we're not quite sure if it was just because it leaked through the clay ladder or because of the improper grouting of so many borings for wells and for the cores that are in there. Now, this landfill has 75 cores. They need to be very carefully sealed with concrete, or they become a conduit for mixing. So there are real technical reasons that there are valid hypotheses to be concerned with. I don't have to necessarily hear back from Denmark, and quite frankly, I trust my colleagues at the university to help me wade through the differences that I'm hearing on both sides of this, and I think it's a healthy thing. I hope it doesn't elevate to real bitterness, because I think it's a scientific question that must be answered. I do want to address the past permit. I oversaw permitting in Denmark for many, many years. I oversaw during that period of time for almost 20 years an environmental impact statement for a federal action that came through the state. When you are issued a permit from DENREC, there is absolutely no guarantee or path dependency for the future. That is the law. It does not continue any further, so I just wanted to clarify that a little bit. I think there was a valid concern expressed about how we used to recycle concrete and where we go. And I would cite the Delaware Solid Waste Management Plan and the drive to try and get towards zero waste. and point out that when we look at drywall, when we look at some of the concrete, when we look at some of the other projects, you'll hear that the market isn't quite supporting it yet. So what it tells me that is that at $40 a ton, it's probably far more cheaper to dump than it is to do what is renewable, sustainable, and recyclable. I can tell you the Markell Trail started in its planning in the late 1980s when we worked on the restoration of Broad Lake Market in Newcastle before they even lifted the rail lines. And I walked most of that trail with Secretary Clark, including the look at the landfill and where the concrete was being dumped. It's unfortunate that the county wasn't aware of that planning effort and what was being done. I wish they had. I can tell you with the industrial lands, when I was working with the community of Southbridge, and I, for the neighborhood plan that we did for the South Wilmington neighborhood plan, we directly tried to engage Newcastle County. At that time, Carl Kallbacker was a manager of the county's development office, and his response was, well, you know, I can't worry about what the community is doing. That's our highest and best tax payment. So there may be a reason why we didn't get to all the other stuff. I do look back to Section C under our definition of zoning for heavy industry that very clearly says it should not be sited near residential areas. And part of my writing was to protect the future development down south and also to correct something that, you know, I wish had been addressed long ago. People will say how long it's been. I wasn't part of the council. I was a technical expert who worked on a lot of this stuff. And what I can tell you as a member of council, it's past due. It's time to work on it. I understand the technical issues. I know they're difficult. I know there is uncertainty. But, you know, when you put a standard out there that says, well, unless you find that contaminant already there, you have no right to stop it. When you have a suspicion, you need to look at that, a risk assessment, and our job is to avoid it. We don't tell someone who's building a big building, well, we'll wait until it catches fire before you put sprinklers in, okay? And we know that we've had problems. You know, we are a responsible party under the law for Delaware sanding gravel for Newcastle County. We have seen similar issues technically that took place at Medicam. These are just some of the reasons why I think this is really important. I don't believe there's any reason at all that we should wait. I believe we have a responsibility as the zoning experts in Newcastle County to ensure that thoughtful adjacent land use and proper zoning is in place to guide our technical experts at DEMRAC. It's not there yet. Hopefully we'll get down that road tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would respectfully disagree with your characterization of this ordinance and assuming that it's not proactive. Quite frankly, in my opinion, it is proactive. It really speaks to the height. That is the issue here. There's nothing about this ordinance that put any landfill out of business. It's like any other legislation that we pass as this body, and that is to, for the future of the people who live in this county, to suggest that this particular legislation is pointing only at one business is quite absurd, in my opinion. When you read the title of this ordinance, there's nothing in this ordinance that's mentioned in this title or in this ordinance that mentions any business specifically. It talks about landfills, and the people that live around landfills should be protected. If they haven't been in the past, that does not mean that they should not be in the future. The most valuable commodity that we have on this earth is the water we drink and the air that we breathe. So folk may want to concentrate on the water, which is very important, but it's also the air that we breathe. The buyouts that you mentioned are only necessary simply because DEMRAC has failed these communities in the past, and we cannot sit here and allow DEMRAC to continue to fail these communities simply because these communities do not make the kind of money that the people make in Pike Creek and other parts of this county, where we will spend millions of dollars to deny the building, the development of a golf course, and to suggest now it's okay
to continue to allow a landfill to expand beyond anything that's reasonable, and that's okay for certain parts of this county, is unacceptable to me. So I will continue to fight against this. I'm happy to be one of the 7 co-sponsors of this legislation. I hope that all 7 co-sponsors will maintain and we'll see this through fruition tonight and finally bring some justice to everybody in every community in this county and stop all of this nonsense about what has not happened. We know what has happened. There's a history here and there's people who live here, particularly in this district of Newcastle County, that are suffering from diseases when long these companies has long folded up, gone on out of business. Derek has even identified these neighborhoods itself, but they continue to allow this to happen, and that's why you got the buyouts going on. Where are these buyouts occurring? We know exactly where they're occurring. They're occurring where there's been negligence by the government itself, and this government is going to sit here and act as though somehow this is some specific picking on of some business where this business has been operating for all these years and feel that they have a right to continue this in this neighborhood. And I agree with Councilman Street. In any other district in Newcastle County, this would not be tolerated. No one sitting here tonight would even think of it even being in their district. So for those folk who feel that it's okay to have this continued impact on these communities, then perhaps you should consider to work with, if there's any discussion with this landfill company, have it moved to some of these people who feel that, well, we need to have our trash someplace. Yes, the trash always has to go someplace where no one else wants it. And unfortunately, in some neighborhoods where people don't have the wherewithal or the money to influence the government or the courts, this is what happens. So we tonight are going to make certain that this legislation passed one way or the other, and folk can come here and they can continue to what they tried to do this afternoon to insult or attack a member of council. I'm going to stand here tonight and fight to make certain we get this through here tonight.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm extremely proud to be one of the co-sponsors of the ordinance with Councilman Street, Councilman Holland, Councilman Carter, Councilwoman Durham, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, because exactly what's been said so far will be reiterated time and time and time again this evening in council, because I hear things, the tone, the very tone, the arrogance of a gentleman who got up and spoke on behalf of waste management. Vested rights? What about the rights of the people? Vested rights, profit, greed. Another 10 foot's not enough. We want to go to 190. I grew up in Holloway Terrace. I was the fire chief of Holloway Terrace Fire Company, 53 years in the fire department. Graduated from Dilworth High School. Lived and grew up in an area that became the dumping grounds for Newcastle County. Unjust, you want to talk about rights, vested rights, people's rights, property values, health. Talking about aquifers, we're talking about contamination possible. Not just this one site, probably many sites in the greater Newcastle area. But the problem is, haven't talked about air quality, haven't talked about how many times families almost had to wear self-contained breathing apparatus on their back decks of their homes to have a barbecue when they have folks over. Because DENREC, the very people, the very experts that was highlighted up here, they're the subject matter experts. They're the ones that'll look out. We don't have to decide that. That's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of crap because we live the Pigeon Point landfill. We live the dump along Newcastle Avenue with the scrapings and the grindings from the road that blow all over the people's homes and cars and properties and their children and them. Everyone breathes. So we're not even talking about air quality. We're talking about waste recycling on Terminal Avenue that was going to be compost that permeated the area so bad, not just Newcastle, but other parts of Newcastle County. And oh my God, what do we have here? DENREC approved it. to have this landfill that has gone high enough. We have an obligation to protect the health, safety, and welfare of our citizens. This is only one part of it. Nobody is pointing the finger solely at waste management, but waste management has applied to go higher, and we have a responsibility under land use code to decide whether that height is reasonable. I'm going to tell you, when I look at once again at DENREC, CROTA, this county government wasn't proceeding fast enough for economic development and CROTA, and DENREC and the state of Delaware overruled Newcastle County's land use system, and we see what's happened there. So when you talk about hype, when you talk about facts, the facts of the matter is that I grew up in an area, I represented an area, and I still represent part of that area that has not been treated fairly, has been the dumping grounds, and it has affected the quality of life for people for years. Enough's enough. You know, like Councilman Holland said, we have an obligation to review it, to look at it. None of us are scientists, but I question some of the folks that will get up tonight from some of these companies and specialists. Where do they live? Do they live in the greater Newcastle area? Do they even live in Newcastle County, Delaware? I think we have an obligation. I'm a sponsor, a co-sponsor, proud to support Councilman Street, and for anyone in our house to turn around and question or go after Councilman Street for what he and each one of us know is the right thing to do, how daring. I not only am a sponsor, but I'm going to vote for it. I sat out at the planning board the other night till midnight at night. Wasn't any need for me to get up. I wanted to be there to be a good listener. I wanted to listen to the folks, their passion, their concern, and not just for themselves or immediate family, but future generations to come. It's time that we stop the nonsense, quit making excuses for folks, and do something. Let us begin. Let us do something constructive to help the environment, the air quality, the pollution, but let us try. Newcastle County, 440 square miles. You might think all this stuff has to go in so many square miles from the corridor of Wilmington down to Newcastle in that area. There's other areas this county can go, but I'll bet you the majority of the folks in this council that don't represent that area won't want it there. But we don't want it there either. It's time to start getting real about this thing, cap this thing at 140 foot, and let's look at other things we can do as a council to regulate land use and protect the health, safety, and welfare of the people in Newcastle County as a whole. But to think that folks haven't been treated unfairly in the greater Newcastle area, you're wrong.
Any other comments from council members? Ms. Durham.
Thank you. The previous speakers speak my mind. I really appreciate it. I'll try not to repeat myself, but I just want to echo that this ordinance by no means is targeting any one particular company. It is forward-thinking, looking ahead, as has been already said several times, to the future, because as Councilman Carter mentioned, the 2010 statewide waste management plan, almost 10 years old now, has set out goals for zero waste, but very, very little progress has been made towards the goals of zero waste, so we do need to do more, as has been said, and we'll be sitting here approving another landfill somewhere. So perhaps this ordinance will set the stage for us to start doing more towards a goal of zero waste. And I, too, am a proud co-sponsor of the ordinance and will vote for it certainly tonight. It's not, you know, cancer clusters, visual blight, that sort of thing are not hype. They're not emotion. It's a fact that we're not reaching our goals of zero waste. And there certainly has been a focus on the water. Obviously, water quality is hugely important, but I was going to just read a section out of the Newcastle County Comp Plan on air quality from the environmental section, section 16, which talks about clean air is essential to Newcastle County's environment. Ensuring clean air can occur by reducing pollution from stationary sources and transportation. Stationary sources such as heavy industrial facilities have a tremendous impact on air. The state has worked with the county to help clean up the air, but much more needs to be done. DRPI, in their comments and their information they've submitted to us, has been focused on Artesian's defense about the water quality, but the air quality is just as important, as has been raised here tonight, the dust in the residents' homes. I think if we leave, you know, this article that was passed around about the slag grinding facility permit that was just approved by DENREC shows you, unfortunately, time after time DENREC is approving these permits. I don't think we want to trust them to do the right thing in this regard. So I'm proud to be happy as a co-sponsor of leading this bill to have the county take a stand and hopefully set the stage to future changes along these lines. Thank you.
Any other comments from council? Ms. Dever.
I just have a technical question, and I'm wondering if Mr. Migliori could come up and help with an answer.
He's coming.
Thank you. Mr. Migliori, I'm just wondering, if we have a conflict with DENREC because of this legislation, what happens?
Well, what, did you have a provision in mind here?
Well, if we pass this and DENREC approves the permit, what happens?
Well, the code is quite clear. Title VII says that no permit will be issued subject to county zoning. So, you know, I think that's plain on its face. If they were to take issue with that, then perhaps there would be legal action that would ensue from that, but I don't see any. There's nothing to suggest that.
Okay. The other statement I'd just like to make is that if we're going to get ourselves into this, I certainly hope that we're thinking of what kind of staffing we're going to need to do the monitoring and evaluation on this sort of thing. You know, I don't see anybody proposing hiring geologists or hydrologists. I mean, I certainly think that would need to happen if we decided to get into this. I'm just not sure I'm crazy about the idea of getting into this before we have a plan here. I'm just concerned about it.
Comments from Council, Mr. Hollins.
To respond to Councilwoman Dilla, this ordinance has nothing whatsoever to do with increasing our staff or anyone else's staff. I mean, it just simply deals with the height of the landfill. So it doesn't mean that we're going to now take over the responsibility of the people that's operating the landfill. We're basically saying that we're going to limit the height. That's all we're doing. Like any other land use proposal, we're not the one to go out. We're not the police. DENREC still has its responsibility. This simply adds a layer of protection to the residents of Newcastle County that they cannot be abused by any aggressive landfill that's going to go beyond the designated height. That's all this does. We don't hire geologists or scientists or anyone else. No one works for Newcastle County.
Well, how do we do enforcement then?
The height is established. We do it the same way we do it now. Who do we hire now to go and enforce height? DENREC does that.
we're working in conjunction with DNRE. There's a height limitation, so we're making that standard. It doesn't mean that now we don't do anything with that landfill today. We don't test the wells. We don't send geologists out. We don't do any of that. So this ordinance does not create any more staffing or work or responsibility to this county. It's like any other violation. If it goes to court, then we defend the code. We would defend what's in this legislation the same way we defend Kite Creek.
Mr. Carter.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, you know, firsthand experience in Denrick, the intent of Chapter 60 was to recognize the zoning rights of home rule in the state of Delaware, set the zoning because the zoning expertise, with the exception of the Coastal Zone Act, was different, was to believe with the local government. Once the local government says it's appropriate siting based on zoning, then, in tandem and in partnership, I think perhaps a novel concept that the state and county work very closely together and do so in accordance with the statute which lays it out, would continue to do that and look at those type of feasibility issues. You know, what has happened with many of these sites is DENRET does not look at adjacent land use and boundaries. That is the purview of local zoning. So these are not separate. You're not hiring geologists. We are looking at where the expertise of local governments who have land use authority are and where the expertise of DENRET is, where they can have the technical expertise. So if this is done in accordance with the state code and with our county codes, it will not matter. We will just actually provide an ordinance that ensures that we work properly and well together, as I think was intended by the state law.
But right now, the zoning for the site in question is proper.
It is.
So if we're looking at compliance with zoning, period, it is in compliance. We just don't have any regulations dictating at this point how we would approve or build a landfill. And I agree that we need to have those. But this is retroactive versus proactive. That's my only...
I don't think we would need the expertise to prove those. DENRET would do it. And our definition of heavy industry 4002-242, Section C, districts shall be located to minimize adverse effects from neighboring districts such as noise, air pollution, and unsightly structures. So my read on this is that by trying to correct our zoning, we are actually meeting the intent of the Lane County law, as well as working well with Title VII.
And we need to correct the zoning in the fact that we need step downs. We need heavy industry. We know we need industry. We know we need office. We know we need retail. We know we need residential. We just do have, over the decades, done a very poor job of allowing heavy industry to grow into the residential areas. Many of those residential areas were there because the people worked in those firms. For instance, the port. The people on Piles Lane worked at the port. They wanted to live there. They were very close to work. We didn't stop the port from growing out into those areas, and we need to do a much better job at that. We need to be able to look at buffering. We need to go back and proactively look at how we're going to mitigate some of those mistakes that we made over the past several decades. But in my mind, when we do public policy goes from this day forward. Very specifically, it has to say that it's retroactive if you are going to sell some piece of legislation that is going backwards in trying to regulate businesses. That's why we have grandfathering. Grandfathering says, yep, until the day that this ordinance, whatever ordinance takes place, you're grandfathered. We were just today in land use, as we went through one of these plans. It is the last plan that was on the books from when we voted to have TIS, the necessity for TIS, prior to a planning board meeting. Well, we voted on that years ago, and we are just now getting to the point where it can be implemented on a plan that comes in. So So part of my problem is just the fact that we have not done some of the due, in my mind, we just haven't done some of the due diligence. We haven't looked, we haven't talked, we haven't done the negotiating with some of the, with the entity that's existing today so that we could bring them into conformance with what we would like to see for the same industry coming in at some time tomorrow. Any other questions from council?
I would like to respond to that if I could. I couldn't agree with you more. The policy sometimes is a professor of policy. It sometimes does begin incremental. And because we haven't done a good job in the past, I'm hoping this is a new dawn, that we will correct those past problems. They are grandfathered in. They have 130 feet. We're going to 140. That's what they'll be able to go. So they are grandfathered in. They just won't go above that.
All right, I have Ms. Durham and Ms. Smiley.
I wanted to say earlier, I'll say it now in response, that DRPI and Waste Management have had every opportunity for years to start recycling. They're not recycling gypsum. As far as I know, they're not recycling metal and other materials that could be recycling. They don't need to wait for us to do that. And I've not heard them proactively say anything in the last, since April or May, whenever this started, that they, you know, it's, they've been very defensive and you know, on the offensive about their right to do this, but I haven't heard them say one thing about, you know, not stopping accepting the out-of-state trash, which plenty of people have brought up at all the prior meetings, and also doing a better job at recycling, which is happening over at Cherry Island. So if they're going to compare themselves to Cherry Island, I would give kudos to Cherry Island for at least doing a much better job of recycling and reducing what goes into the landfill, in which case they wouldn't be back here way prematurely asking for additional height.
Right.
Mr. Smiley.
We've been on 2 hours and we've been overwhelmed under through this legislation. I know we're nearing the time to cut off. So, quite honestly, I have someone's constituent who's been wanting to speak. I understand there are a lot of them here. This lady cannot come back. I'd like to yield my time to this individual, if council doesn't mind.
Please allow her to speak. You to speak.
That's fine. Yes, thank you.
Don't tell anybody. I have a reputation to be mean.
No, that's fine.
I'm going to sign on the way out.
Thank you.
Ma'am, we're allowing comments at this meeting to 2 minutes.
Well, I've got 2 minutes. I have to work it out.
Okay, thank you.
First, I'd like to thank you because of the fact that I have to get home to my sick father who just got out of the hospital from heart conditions, and he used to live in Southbridge. My name is Michelle Roberts. I'm former scientist for Newcastle County, environmental scientist, where I worked up and down Newcastle County. I am a proud graduate of Wilmington High School, the very last class prior to forced desegregation. I'm also the co-author of the report that has been condemned by DENREC and the Health Department. Health Department say that this report, peer-reviewed, by the way, that we actually co-authored with the Union of Concerned Scientists, which shows the demographic data of health and well-being on the Route 9 Industrial Corridor, and we actually compared and contrasted that to Joe Biden's community. Why? Because of when Bo Biden died from a brain cancer. God rest his soul. We said, you know, Bo is dying in our community every day of the week. I am not here to say that it is Waste Management's fault. I am here to say that it is a cumulative impact. And the cumulative impact is based on the cumulative number of industrial sources that are up and down the Route 9 Industrial Corridor, which has been zoned industrial because it dates back to that of segregation when people had no other place but to live on the Route 9 Industrial Corridor because of racial segregation. With that said, then people thought to be able to have the opportunity to work at the port and other places, and the opportunities to work in industrial facilities that were up and down the line of the Route 9 Industrial Corridor. Unfortunately, Many of those folks, including my grandfather and other members of my family, worked at low-level jobs, again, because of racial segregation. I am here today to say, because of the communities and on behalf of the many community members that we have heard talk about their heart, their health, their everything, this is why we wrote this report. We encourage you in one of the solutions to look at cumulative impact analysis in any and all industrial permits and expansion permits. With that said, it must take in the sins of the past to come into the current to move beyond. We are in full agreement that the best kept technology is able to take care of situations. We read the article about the recent slag permit, which is a very nasty in operation, but we're not here for that today. However, that is one of the cumulative impacts that no matter if you have the best kept technology, we look at FOTA that made that in the 75-year history of the bridge, they had all the best technology there, and then that inspected that operation 1 month or 1 month to the day basically before the incident. We're here to say that the Route 9 Industrial Corridor health and well-being must be at the front end, and that the workers must be at the front end of any and all decisions.
Thank you
and
for keeping your comments to 2 minutes.
Thank you so much for keeping my time to 2 minutes. I am with you. Your Delaware 3 have committed to environmental justice through that of cumulative impacts as well. They signed on from a national space. We can actually help you with education if you need it.
Come on now, Dad.
And I will thank you on the way out because my father, who has heart challenges, is now waiting for me to bring food home to him. I appreciate all your help. And so does my mother, who just had actually a small TIA, and she lived on the east side equally because of racial segregation. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you for keeping your comments to 4 minutes.
That's what I do. Since no one else would like to...
Thank you.
Well, they will never let me do this again.
Mr. Street. Oh, Mr. Smiley, that was your commentary. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Street.
He's done.
maybe next meeting.
I would simply like to thank the speaker for coming as a proud graduate of Wilmington High. You know, I turned activist, you turned scientist. But Wilmington High did great work, and I certainly appreciate your enthusiasm and your support.
All right, we are beyond what we said as the 2 hour timeline for this meeting. We do have another engagement at this point that we have to fulfill. We will be back in an hour. It will be the council meeting. We will open it under a different forum, but this is one of the items on the agenda, and President Karen Hartley Nagel will be presiding over that meeting, and there will be public comment at that meeting. We have no time limit at the ending of that meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you so much. Can come